Begin the current daf, Seftus Tmur daf Yud Ches. Begin 9 lines down to the top of the Yemen, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous daf. That is, the Gemara introduced the opening mission of this parak regarding telling us different types of categories of karbanas, that's like the topic of our Masechta, that it's Tmura, and it's Vadis, its children will have the same halacha as the original karban itself, and it'll have all its halachas. So that our Gemara says regarding the opening category of our mission regarding a halacha of Shlamim, that it has the same halacha, where do we know that from? The Gemara brought two different braises. The first braise I learned it out from, where it's seemingly extra words of Zachar in the Keva. Zachar in the Keva come to add on the Tmurs and the Vladis of the carbon. Our Kayetzaban have the same halacha, and even if their parent, the sanctified Shlam, is a Bamum, still the Tmur and the Vlad will have the sanctified status. Then the Gemara brought another braise, which learned it out from a different source, which is from a pasuk that Raka Deshecha, there's the words there that teach us regarding the Tmuris and the Vladis, and from the continuity of the next pasuk, we learn that it has the same halacha as the Ayla and the Shlam too. Now, additionally, the first opinion that ever Bishmol, he says, and how do I know that this is not by every carbon? This is like we're talking the context of our Mishnah Bashlam. But other carbons like an Ashim, how do I know that it's the Vladis and the Tmuris are not going to be Kayetzavan? So he learns it out from the word rock. Rock is exclusionary terminology. That theme is where our Gemara continues and quotes that Rabbi Akiva Eimer, he said, no, in the Tzarech B'chul, he says, you don't need to have, like, exclude from the word rock the tumuris of other karbanis. Rather, because hulu, etc., we have, it says in the pasuk, asham hu ha-asham, which is, the word hu is exclusionary to tell us hu karav ein tumura sekreva. Now, by the asham, it itself is sacrificed, but its tumura is not sacrificed. So you don't have to exclude from the word rock. You know it from the context of the asham itself, where it says only it. That is the Gemara Lamali Kra. Why do you need a pasuk to exclude the derivatives of the asham? But Valhilchasa Gemirila, it's Allah Hashem Sinai that anything by the karma chatas that dies, so by the asham it's left to grace, and the tumur of chatas and the vlad of chatas is left to die. So you already know that from Allah Hashem Sinai. Why does Rabbi Akiva saying that you don't need rock? You have asham hu. You don't need that either. You know from Allah Hashem Sinai. Now, as Tosis points out, well, this was a question the Gemara asked on the top of our Amid from the previous daf, and say, yes, you know it from Malach HaMishim Sinai, but the pasuk is coming to tell you that if someone violates that and does it, that he's violating a positive commandment. And that Tosis says that wouldn't work as well as the Gemara had said in the previous interpretation with Rabbi Shmuel, because he learns out from a pasuk that's explicitly a positive commandment, and a negative derivation from a positive commandment is a violation of a positive commandment. But here, it's just saying it as a concept, so it's no stronger than the halacha Meshav Sinai. And then the Gemara is wondering, why would you need a pasuk for that? So the Rosh Gemara says, Enoch Hanami, you're right. The truth is that you know the halacha that Rabbi Akiva is pointing out, which it says you don't need rock for, and you don't need any other pasuk for. You're right, you know it's from the halacha Meshav Sinai. El Kralam, at least, and then back to the question, so what is utility of the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva is quoting? That's Mibayla, like Rav Huna, you need it actually for a different teaching, that of which Rav Huna teaches. Then Rav Huna says the following halacha. He says, Asham shenitik l'riya. Carbon asham, a guilt offering, which is not being used, let's say because they lost it and they found another one. Either way, there's different circumstances where they're not going to sacrifice it, and they remove it to go out and graze. And the concept is that it has to develop a blemish, and then it's sold, and then the proceeds are used to buy a carbon. But in this situation, what they actually did was, u'shachate stam. Before it developed a blemish, this asham that was taken out to say, okay, we know there's not going to be an asham anymore, but it's supposed to first develop a blemish and then be sold. They didn't. It was slaughtered unspecified. So it says Rav Huna, kashla shem oila. So it's going to be valid to be used as a carbon oila. Now the reason for that is because, in general, this asham was now redesignated to be a carbon oila. Now, it itself was not supposed to be brought as a carbon oila. Its monetary value is supposed to be used to buy a carbon oila. But it was already relabeled as an oila for that earmark for that purpose, and therefore if it was slaughtered, it could be utilized as a carbon oila. But one thing says the Gemara, his halacha is telling us nitakin, only if it was removed from the designation of an asham to be then put into the process of becoming an oila. But lay nitak la, even if it wasn't removed from the designation of an asham, then no. And that is, even though the owner already got atonement with some other animal, since it wasn't yet removed from it being an asham to go out and graze and go for the objective of becoming its proceeds being used for an oila, and it was slaughtered unspecified, it's going to be totally invalid. My time, well, what's the reason? So that's what the Gemara says, because that's what the pasuk says. So when it says asham hu, it is an asham which is babayasa yehe. that it remains with that existence, and it's still going to be an Ashram, and it's not going to be fit for to be brought as an Ashram, because it already had a Tum with something else. So therefore it's going to be invalid. It's only with Nitikler, yeah, that's when Rav Huna says it's going to be valid as an Ayla. And that's what we learn from this Pasuk of Ashram. So now the Gemara says, okay, so Lahai Tana, the Kiyol of Mani Krai, so according to the Tana, the second Braisa, which quoted Rav Shmuel and Rav Akiva, they disagreed on one aspect, but they learned that the Halacha of the Vlad of the Shlamim and the Tamur of the Shlamim, that's how we know this, where it says in the Pasuk, Raka Neshecha, and we learn that from these words in the Pasuk, Asha Yulacha, that we know that the children and the Tamur of the Shlamim is going to have the same Halacha, typically Mizach and the Keva. Why do they learn that from where the Tana, the first Braisa, learns it out from the extra word Zach and the Keva, which one is coming to teach you Vlad, this one is coming to teach you the Tamur of the Shlamim have the same Halacha? He needs it to tell you the second part of the halacha, which, no, regarding the vladis and the tumors that he knows from the pasuk that we brought a raka d'shecha. He needs the extra zach and the keva to tell you that even if it's a child of a blemished animal, or the tumors balimum, or it's a tumor of a blemished animal, that even so it's going to have the halacha creates them. So it's like, but typically cool in the hikra, but then why did he learn that everything from that pasuk? As the time of the first brisa learns out everything from that pasuk. Zach and the Keva teaches you the primary halacha of Vladis and Tmuris. And Im Zach, Im the Keva, as we taught in the previous daf, comes to teach that even if the parents are Bali and woman. So why do you need both Pesukim? Says the Gemara, because Im Le Mashmur. Tana Sekhar Braisa didn't hold that the word Im is being used as a drasha to expound anything. And therefore, the only thing that is there extra is Zach and the Keva. So therefore, it's from there where you learn that even if the parent is a Bali and woman, but the primary halacha is learned from the Pasuk of Rakha Deshach. So says the Gemara, Ulahai Tana Dinafkele, and the Gemara says, Me'im Zachar Im Nekeva, so the Tana, the first Baisa, that learns that everything, including the primary halacha of the Vladis and Tmuris of the Shlamis Kayyidzaban, from Zachar Im Nekeva, so Tisa Uvasa Ma'avad Lahu, what do they do with the Pasuk that the second Baisa brings, of which we have an allusion of the Vladis and Tmuris in that Pasuk, and it says you have to lift it up and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, which then we learn out from the Smichas to the second Pasuk, that it has to be sacrificed. What do they learn from there? Because they already know Vlad is sent words from Im Zachar Im Nekeva. Says the Gemara, that's to tell you Afila Mimirayu. That this Tisa Vasa, they hold, is not coming to teach us regarding the Halach of Vlad is sent words. No, that passage is referring to the carbon itself. And it's warning a person that he has to bring the carbon as soon as possible, and that is even if his animal is grazing in the pasture, and it becomes time that he has to go ahead and go up to Yerushalayim and to bring up his carbon. He shouldn't say, I'm not going to go after and go get my animals from the swamps and bring them. I'll wait for a different time. No, that's what the Pasuk is telling you, that from these words, Tisabas, you got to go ahead and lift them, you got to bring it up, you got to have alacrity and bring it right now when you're going up to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, Lishna Achra, a different version, was saying that even Mimurgaihu, that even if the animals are threshing the grain with these Morigim, Mar Menachas of Chavez and Alpha explains what the Merigi are these types of, it's a type of a threshing tool, which was a board that had a hole, and then they had these pegs in it, and they put it on the grain, and then the animals would go ahead and use it to thresh on the grain. That's what the Pasuk is coming to say, that even if the lamb, the animal that you want to sanctify, and you're ready to go up to Alila Regal, go up to Yerushalayim for the Yom Tov, you shouldn't say, okay, look, my animal's threshing, I'm going to wait till a different time. No, rather take it and go right now. That's what we learn from Tisa Vasa, but it's not teaching us anything regarding Vladas and Tmuris, because that, according to them, they learned it from Im Zachar in the cave. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the opening Mishnah of our parak from the previous daf, which the Tana of our previous Mishnah said that the Vladas and the Tmuris of the cut of the Shlamim, even for all future generations, as long as it keeps on going, will have the same halacha as the primary Shlam. However, the two opinions in our Mishnah disagree. The Eliezer, he says, Vlad Shlamim lo yukrav Shlam. The child of Shlam is actually not sacrificed as a carbon Shlam. Rather, it's just put into a cage and is left till it dies. Now, as Rashi points out, this is obviously rabbinic, and as a decree, as the Gemara will explain later on, because most definitely from Sinai, that the tradition was only that there's five types of karma chattas that die, and one of them is the Vlad chattas. Obviously, the Vlad Shlam is not left to die. But as we'll see, it's a rabbinic concern that the Rebbe Eliezer holds that we leave it to die. Now, the Chachamim, they disagree, they say, no, Yikrav, no, the Vlad of Shlam is sacrificed. However, Amr Bshamni qualifies their machlekes. He says, Lo nechluku al Vlad Vlad Shlam. Their disagreement was not regarding the child of a child, but the grandchild of a Shlam. Vav Vlad Vlad Tamura, or the grandchild of the Tamura, Shalo Yikrav. Shmuel is going to explain what does this mean, that it's not going to be sacrificed. How do you actually translate that part of the sentence? But they're not disagreeing regarding the grand shul. Amal nechlik, what are they disagreeing about, as we explained in the opening words, is al havla, is regarding the first child. And that is, Rabbi Lezai, Melo Yikrib, he says it's not sacrificed. And the sages say that it is sacrificed, but again, they're both not, like their disagreement is in regards to that of the first child. We'll see if they're all disagreeing with the Tana of our previous Mishnah, which said that even for all future generations, but that's what the Machlekes is regarding the first child. Now, Hager, Bishuber, Papias, they both testified, Avlad Shlamim, Sheyikrib Shlamim, which they were saying like the Chacham, not like Rabbi Yazir, that they testified that the child of a Shlamim is sacrificed like a Shlamim. And Omer, Papias, he says, Ani made, he says, I'll testify, Shalitzulon, the partial Zivch Shlamim, that we had in our family a cow of carbon Shlamim, Vachalnu, Bepesach, we ate on Pesach, Vachalnu, Vlad, the Shlamim, Bechag, and we ate its child as a carbon Shlamim on the next holiday, so you see that the Vlad of a Shlamim is Karev as a Shlamim. So the Gemara explains, Omer, Ami, Omer, Biach, this is, my time in Rabbi Lez, what's the reason in Rabbi Lez that he says that the child of a Shlamim is not sacrificed as a Shlamim? So he says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says of a Yikra, it says, V'im zevach shlamim karbonim. If it's a carbon shlamim, that's his carbon. Now he expounds the word im, like as if it had a tseri, which is aim, which is v'im, and the mother is a zevach shlamim karbonim. V'loi vlad, and not the child. Kachamli v'chi barabba, l'rabami says, wait a second. If that's the case, that you expound the word im as aim, it's only the mother. So take the other Pasuk, where it says, im al toidi yakarveno. If it's going to be a toidi, they sacrifice. Hachanami de'em b'lei vlad, you can tell me the same thing is regarding the child of a tumura, that it's only the mother and not the child that sacrificed? If you're going to say that's the case, but Vatanul in the Brice it says, vlada, the child of a taita, with tumurasa and the animal that you swap it, the chilufeho, chilufeho, the exchange is referring to a case like, for example, if the primary, if the one that was sanctified got lost, and they separated another one in place of it, and then they found the first one, and now both of them are there, minayin, how do you know that they're also, that they're going to be sacrificed as a taita? Tamalume im al taida. To the contrary, the word im here is being actually used as a ribuy, not as an exclusionary, to include the vlad. It says if on the taida, which is mikal makan, in all situations, the im is a ribuy, is inclusionary terminology to say they're all sacrificed, and the blazer does not disagree. So you see that by taida he agrees. So then, why are you saying that? But you said im means aim, it's the mother, and therefore he should disagree. So elam abchir barabba am abyechin, rather he says no. Hayin etam in the Rebbe Eliezer is not because of a biblical source. It's a gezerah. It's a rabbinic decree that if you're going to say that the child of a shlam has a rectification, meaning that it itself can be brought as a carbon shlam, so then we're concerned that shema, maybe the person's going to come to delay the mother, the animal, the carbon shlam itself, until it gives birth. So, and yigadl mehem, that he'll go ahead and bring up from those children adarm adarm, flocks and flocks of animals, because he can utilize them as karbanas. And but the problem is when he's holding on to these animals, he might come to shear the wool and work with them because they're just in their flock, and that could be problematic because he's not allowed to work with karbanas. You have to quickly bring them, but he's going to be holding on to it because he wants children of shlamim, and therefore we say that no, you're not going to be able to use the vladim anyway, they're going to have to die, so no one's going to hold on to them. Now, in contrast, by the carbon taita, as we pointed out just before, the reason why over there we don't say it's problematic is because the carbon taita is not so common as a carbon shlamim. It's for a person who is saved from a precarious situation. Shlum people bring all the time. Therefore, they weren't geyser, but by shlum they were geyser, according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that the child should not be sacrificed. Now, our Mishnah said, Omer B'Shimon says, he says that their whole dispute was only regarding the Vlad shlum. But the Vlad of the shlum or the Temura, oh, there they didn't disagree about. Now, Ibargo did the following question, Hechitani, how are we supposed to read the words that Rabbi Shimon said that they didn't disagree, Shaloi Yikrivu? That is it going on the first part of his statement, which is he was saying loy nechleku, they didn't disagree, meaning that Rabbi Eliezer should say, as he says regarding the vlad, shaloy yikruvu, that it shouldn't be sacrificed. No, they didn't disagree shaloy yikruvu, meaning Rabbi Eliezer didn't disagree as he does regarding the child, that so too the grandchild should not be sacrificed. No, meaning he didn't say that el yikruvu, rather it should be sacrificed. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer agrees when it's already at a second generation, it's a Vlad, so people don't recall that it came from a Shlam, and therefore there's no reason to make a decree that maybe other people are going to see that this person is sacrificing, he's holding out their Shlamim, and he's making flocks and flocks, and people might come to do the same thing. No, people are not going to recognize that it came from that grandfather that's a Shlam. So therefore that would not be problematic, and there even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that the Vlad would be sacrificed. Like Dilma, maybe no, it's the end of his statement. And he was saying, Loy nechleku sheyikrevu. They didn't disagree that it should be sacrificed, meaning elo lo yikrevu. Rather, like you're saying, is that no one disagrees that it should not be sacrificed, meaning even the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Eliezer in this situation that here, as we're going to shortly see the reason for that, why that would be, that even they would agree that it's not going to be sacrificed, which then, according to that version, everyone's not like the Tana of our previous Mishnah. So Amar Rabba, his opinion is, Mestaber, it's logical to say, Lo nechleku shelo yikrevu, ele yikrevu. That what he meant to say was that no one disagrees that it should not be sacrificed. Rather, ele yikrevu, rather, everyone agrees by the grandchild that it will be brought as a korban shlom. And it will follow biblical law. My time, what's the reason? Because ad kan lepolig Rabbi Eliezer aled Rabbana el bavlad. Where do we find Rabbi Eliezer disagreeing with the Rabbanan and saying that, no, it cannot be sacrificed alone by the child? Avavlad vlad akroi ba'amu. But regarding the grandchild, that's not something that's so common and for a person to hold on to it so long. And we know Mesel d'shchicha l'gazer ba'arvan. Therefore, the rabbinic decree would not apply over there. And therefore, everyone would agree by the Vlad Vlad that it would be carved. And therefore, that would mean that the Chum are actually like the Tana of the previous Mishnah, which that everyone agrees, according to the Chum and the previous Tana, that all of them are brought as a Shlamim. It's just Rabbi Eliezer holds by the Vlad that that's where it's not because of the rabbinic decree. But Rabbi Shimon Levi, he disagrees. He says, no, the other way around. Lo nechleku sheyikrevu ela lo yikrevu. He was saying that no one disagrees that it should be sacrificed. Rather, there, everyone in our mission would agree that it's not going to be sacrificed. My time, what's the reason? Because ad kan leplig Rabban ala Rabbi Eliezer el bavlad. Where do we find the Rabban disagreeing with him and saying that it's going to be sacrificed is only by the child. Av avlad vlad, but by the child's child? Oh, then as the Gur says, mitoich ma'isam nikeres machshavtoi. From his actions, we could tell what his intent is. That his intention is to bring up flocks and flocks, and therefore it cannot be sacrificed, because now for sure, even the Chacham would agree, the rabbinic decree that Rabbi Eliezer had mentioned makes sense, that we're concerned that people that this guy's going to hold on to it for flocks and flocks is going to be problematic, because he might end up shearing the wool, and people don't remember, it's they've been holding on to it so long, he might come to work with it, and there, even the Rabbanan would agree, of the Tana of our Mishnah, the Chachamim, that there, even there, would be Lo Yikrevu. So that's the Machlekes regarding how to interpret these words of Reb Shimon and qualify this Machlekes of Lez and the Chachamim and our Mishnah. As we continue to Medbeis, says the Gemara, Tanya Reb Chiyah L'Siyul Reb Shimon Levi. Chiyah taught a Braisa that supports this last opinion of Reb Shimon Levi. Because he expounds the Pasuk that says, Im Kesev Hu Makrib. If it's a lamb that he sacrificed, you know, Kesev sounds like a child, which is a lamb, a young animal, which is like the child. So that teaches us that we're talking about a child, because we're using the terminology of Kesef, Vlad Rishon Karv. It's telling us that, because it's in the singular, the first child of the Shlom is sacrificed, Vlad Sheni in the Karv, but the second child is not sacrificed. It's exactly like Meshum and Levit qualify the opinion of the Chachamim, that even those who say that the first child is sacrificed hold that the second one is not. So that's like his interpretation of Reb Shimon. Now additionally, Reb Chiya's Braisa continues, and says also, moreover, who Karv? Only the Vlad of the Shlomim, which the Pasuk there is talking about the Shlomim, that's where we say that the Kesev is going to be sacrificed, the child is going to be sacrificed like the Shlomim, but the Ein Vlad Kala Kaddishim Karb. But the child of other Kaddishim is not going to be sacrificed. So the Gemara explains now the Braisa once we introduced it. Vlad Demai, the child of which type of carbon is being excluded, that you're saying, oh, but the child of other Kaddishim is not going to be sacrificed. Ida Eil of Asham, if you think it's a child of a carbon, Eil or Asham, can't be, because Zacharim him. Those karbanas are always male, but le b'nei vladim, they're not the types of karbanas that can have a child anyway. Either chadis and everything is regarding karmachadis, which is a female. Well, hechaz a gemir le misazel. We already have a lacha mishnah v'sinna that tells us that it's left to die. Obviously, we know it's not sacrificed. You wouldn't have to exclude it from this pasuk. Sam Ravina, he says, it's lasuyi vlad hamuser. It's coming to include the child of a maisa behema, which is that every 10th animal from the new animals are tithed. If the 10th one is a female, then it gives birth, which it's a Maisa Behema. This, although the Maisa Behema itself is sacrificed when it's unblemished, the child is not sacrificed. Rather, it grazes until it develops a blemish, and then it's eaten by its owner in its blemished state, just like the Maisa Behema itself, when it's blemished, is eaten by the owner in the blemished state. So that's what we're saying, that the child of the Maisa Behema, that's not going to be sacrificed like the mother animal itself. So as the Gemara, Vladimir Saris Lomali Kra, if it's coming to refer to the child of the Maisa Behema, why do you need a pasuk for it to exclude it? Avara Avara Mebuchar Kogamrle, we already know it from a Gezerah Shavah that's mentioned many times, comparing, because it says the same terminology by the Maisa Behema and by the Bukhar, comparing the two halachas. Now, just like the firstborn animal, its child is not sacrificed as a carbon because it can't have a child because the Bukhar is a male, so we already know the Maisa Behema, the child is not sacrificed. Why do you need to exclude it from that pasuk? Says the Gemara, no, Itzchak, it was necessary. Why? Sagadat Chamina, you would have thought to say, ain't done an Efshe Mishi Efshe. You can't learn something that's possible from something that's impossible. The Gzeresh Rabbah tells us when there's similar context, but you can't learn out Maisa Behemoth that could have a child from Bechai that can't have to say, oh, just like there the child's not sacrificed, so through here. That's because it's not possible. But when it's possible, maybe it would be brought. So Kamashmon, therefore you need to learn from this pasuk that not every carbon is its child is going to be sacrificed, which that's coming to refer to the child of the Maisa Behemoth. Now Mishnah quoted regarding the machlekes that was mentioned over there, that Hagrib, Shimon, Rib, Papias, Vahula, that they testified that the child of a carbon shlam is sacrificed, not like Rabbi Yazab, rather like the Chum. And there was even a story that it was mentioned that he said, in our family, the child was sacrificed on a later Yom Tov as a carbon shlam. Now the Gemara, however, asked regarding that incident. Ula Rav, according to Rav, the Amid that he says, Kadshim, regarding a carbon that a person has an obligation to bring, Kivin Sha'avar Leim Regal Echad, once already one Yom Tov passes on him not having brought his obligated carbon, every single day he violates what's called in the Torah, the violation of not delaying bringing your carbon. Because the Pasuk says, that Rav understands, it says that you'll come there and you'll bring your animals, which sounds like on the first Yom Tov that you come, you have to bring it. And if you delay that, then you violated Baal Tacher. Every single day you're violating Lo Yisaseh. So then the question is, so that story, he said, that on Pesach we ate the mother, and then on Bechag, which generally means the Yom Tov of Sukkos, we then ate the child. But why, according to Rava, on Shavuos they should have eaten that and brought that up as a carbon, because not every day they're violating Lo Yisaseh Baal Tacher. Because we understand on Pesach they didn't sacrifice the child, because you could say it was Mechus Zman. It wasn't old enough yet because it was born on Pesach, and on Pesach is when they ate the mother, and they didn't. It was only 7 days, and he has to be 8 days old to then be brought as a carbon. So fine, Pesach he didn't violate, but Shavuos already should have to be brought. How'd they wait till Sukkos? So Rav Zibin Mishmei the Rav, he says, Kegoyin Shal Yechayil Batzes. Talking about where the animal, the child, was ill on Shavuos, and the carbon that's chayli cannot be brought. So therefore they were only able to bring it on the following Yom Tov of Sukkos. Rav Asham, he gives a different answer. He says, no, my chag nami diktani, what does it mean when it says we brought it on the holiday, the chag? It means chag Shavuos. It means the yantav Shavuos. Now, but the Idach, Rav Zvid would tell you that no. Kalhecha diktani Pesach, whenever the terminology that was used is that we were talking about the yantav of Pesach, and then we want to mention afterward the yantav of Shavuos, tani atzeres. Then we use the terminology of atzeres, which that's, it's like the Shemini atzeres of Pesach. We use the terminology atzeres. We don't call it chag. But you're right, if we would have referred to Pesach as Chag HaMatzes, then we would have referred to Atzeres as Chag. But since we use the terminology of Pesach, if we're using Chag, obviously it does not refer to Shavuos. Now, but now the Gemara asks on both of them, Ihach, if that's the case, that either Chag means that it was refers to Shavuos, because so therefore they didn't delay, or even though Chag means Sukkos, but the animal was ill, and therefore they could only bring it on Sukkos, then Mayas Hadusei. So then what was the testimony of Rav Papias? What was he coming to tell us? In other words, if he was coming to say that they brought it on the Yom Tov Sukkos, and on Shavuos the animal was not ill, so Rav Papias would be telling us a chiddush to exclude from the opinion of Rava. And he would be saying, no, you don't violate after just one Yom Tov, as the Gemara talks about elsewhere in Rosh Hashanah, different opinions of how long is the violation of Baal Tacher. But now that it's the following Yom Tov, or the first available Yom Tov, so what exactly was he coming to tell us? Says the Gemara, Lafukin Med Rabbi Eliezer, as the primary understanding of the mission is, it's coming to exclude from Rabbi Eliezer. The Amma Vlad Shlam Leik of Shlam, he said that in general, the child of Shlam is not sacrificed as a Shlam, Kamasa Hud the Karb. He is testifying that it's sacrificed. You're right, the Chiddush wasn't that, oh, it was on Chag. That was just part of the story, but he was just coming to say that the child is brought as a Shlam, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the child and the Temura of different types of categorical animals, so now the Mishnah continues, Vlad Toide b'Tmurasa. First Mishnah spoke about Shlamim, now we're talking about the child of a carbon Toide and its Tmura. Says the Mishnah, Vladon, Atzev Kaladaris, its child, its child's child, until all the future generations that are derived from this primary carbon Toide. Harei l'kataide, they all have the halacha like the carbon Toide itself, which they're sacrificed and they're eaten for a day and a night. Ubavache in tu'un lechem, but as long as they don't have the other element of the carbon Toide, they don't have the required breads that are brought along with the Toide called the lachem Toide. But the animal itself is sacrificed like the carbon Toide itself. Says the Gemara, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, because the tournament went in the Braisa. Mao Eimer, what does it mean in the beginning of the Pasuk? And by Yikra Zayin Yud Beis, when it says that if it's going to be on, and the Girsa adds on the word Toide Yakriv, taking out the Nun Vav, because actually the Nun Vav we're going to expound shortly, the Pasuk could have just said, the Hikriv al Zevach HaToide. Or could have said Imal Taida, but what's the word Yakriv coming to tell us? We already says Vehikav Azabach Taida. So says the Braisa, it's coming to tell us the following idea from the extra word Yakriv. Mafresh Taida Vab, if someone's designated a Karbat Taida and it got lost. So Vehifesh Acharis Tachta, then he designated another animal to take its place. But then in instance of Rishonim, they found the first animal. Now Vahresh Tainim, just now both of them are standing here, ready for us to choose one to bring as a Karbat Taida. How do we know that whichever one you want, you could choose to sacrifice, and you'll bring the required breads with it? That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach from the extra word yakriv, that in all situations, even the second one could be sacrificed. Now, but yachol teishniyah. Now, you would think if, let's say, after the first one, whichever one you chose to be the first one, was sacrificed with the breads, so you would think now the second one that's being brought would also be tuna lechem, would also require the breads to be brought with it. Tamalemi yakrivenu, in the singular, that you sacrifice it, which is achas v'leishtayim, only one and not the second one. Now, it's only from the breads that we're excluding it. Because if you would think we're excluding it from totally being sacrificed at all, that you can't say, because as the Brisa is going to shortly say, from the words im al taida, we already include all these other types of things to be sacrificed. So this that we're excluding, this other one called the chalipin, the chalifas, is talking about regarding from the breads, as we learned in the Mishnah. Now, continues the Brisa, minayin l'rabbis, we didn't know what to include for being sacrificed. Vlodais, tmurais, v'chalifis, the child, the tmura, the exchange, like we described the case of when it gets lost and you separate another one in place of it and then you find the first one. How do we know that those are going to be sacrificed? Which this is like halacha of our Mishnah. We're talking about the vlodais and the tmuras. Tamalon, as it comes to teaching the pasuk, taking out the vav, im al taida, either from the word im or al, if on the carbon taida, which those are extra words coming to tell us that those other types, derivatives, are also going to be sacrificed as the carbon taida itself. Now, yachal yu kulan tunis lechem, but you would think again that all of these categories that we're including would require the breads. Tamalema al zevach ha-taida, on the carbon that's the taida. The taida is taida tunis lechem, only the primary taida is the one that requires breads. V'loi v'lado u'tmurasa v'chalifasa tunis lechem, but all these other secondary ones, the child, the tmuru, or the exchange one, the one that's not being used, that although they're going to be sacrificed like the taida, but they don't require the breads like the carbon taida. Now we move on to the next mishnah, continuing on to the next category, tmuras ayla, the tmura of a carbon ayla. For example, let's say he tried swapping it to a male animal to be the carbon ayla, which an ayla is a zachar, and then he tries doing a tmura to a different male animal. Or, and the gear says, vlad tmurasa, the child of its tmura. For example, let's say the tmura that he did was onto a female animal, and so although the oilus is zachar, but the tamura would take effect even on the fact that it's a female. Now, that female tamura gave birth to a male animal. Or, Vlad, that Tzav Kalayla, or its child, until all future generations. Harelu Kalayla, all these derivatives, the tamura of the oila, or the child of the tamura of the oila, that they're all going to have the halacha like the oila itself. And, Vetun and Hefshav and Netuach, they have to be skinned and dismembered like a carbon oila. But Kalayishim and totally burned on the fires like a carbon oila. Now, it says the Mishnah, Hamafresh Nikeval Ayla, if someone separates and designates a female animal for an Ayla, which is not appropriate, it has to be a male. But he designates the female as an Ayla. V'yol v'zachar, now that female gives birth to a male. So the Tanna Kamma says, Yira Achei Yistayv. So that male has to graze until it develops a blemish. V'yimachar v'yavi b'dam of Ayla, and then it's sold. And from its proceeds, you use to go ahead and bring a carbon Ayla from that child. But Rabbi Yazar Meis says, no, who atz me yikar v'ayla? The child is a male. A male is worthy to be a carbon oila. So the child itself is actually brought as a carbon oila itself. So the Gemara wonders in understanding our Mishnah. Maishno Reisha. Why is it in the opening halacha of our Mishnah when we spoke about the child of a tamura of an oila? Which, again, the tamura was in the keva. Oila has to be a zachar. The primary oila was a zachar. The tamura is obviously a female. And then we said regarding the child of the tamura, with their delay pligi, no one disagrees, the Rabbanim don't disagree in the opening halacha of our Mishnah, that it seems to be going according to everyone, that it says that they're going to be like oila, and it's going to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. That the child of the Tamura is going to be a carbon oila. It itself is going to be sacrificed as an oila. U'mayishna seifa, but why is it a seifa when it's talking about the child of an oila, when the primary oila is in the keva, but the child itself that is a zachar, the pligi, that the Rabbanan do disagree, and they say, although it's a zachar, it's not part of the carbon oil itself, only its monetary values. But what's the difference? In both cases, you have a child that's coming from an inappropriate source, and its mother, in both cases, is a female. Either because it's the tamura of the oila, or the mother itself is designated as a female, but the child that's a male is appropriate, Why in the Reisha do they say that it's brought as an oil itself in the Sefer when it's the mother is the oil itself that's in the Keva, it's not brought as an oil itself? So Amar Rabbi Bachana says, you're right. The Machlekes Shenuya, it is toward the Machlekes. In other words, just like they disagree in the Sefer, they disagree in the Reisha too. And the Reisha that actually tells us that it's going to be brought as a Karmen oil itself, V'Rebbe Lazer, it's going like Rebbe Lazer in the Sefer, who he says that, yeah, Hu'atz Me'yikr Baila. But Rav Amei says, no, Afil Tim Rabban, you could say that the Reisha is even like the Rabbanan. Because Adkan le Pliga le Rebbe Lazer, where do we find that they disagree with Rebbe Lazer, in the Sefer, is Elagabe Mafrish Nekeva La'ila. Is only where, that in the case of the Sefer, where the primary animal that was designated to be an Oila was a female. And then the child was a male. Though, there the Ime Lo'ikreva, its mother, which is the primary carbon, is not sacrificed because it's a female. A female cannot be brought as a carbon oila. So its derivative is also not going to be brought as a carbon oila. Of a tamura, but in the case of the ratio, when it's the child of a tamura, the imei nami, that its mother also now, doesn't really mean its mother. Rather, when we use the terminology of mother over here, we mean the primary source of the sanctity where they're all coming from its strength, which was the primary animal that was sanctified as an oila, is kreva, is sacrificed because the primary one was a male. Its tamura was a female, and the child of the tamura was a male. But the primary source where they're coming from was a male. In contrast, when the case of the Sefer, when they designated the primary oila as a female, the hekdesh rishon is something that's not sacrificed. But in the case of the Reisha, the Rabban Maidu, even the Rabban would agree that since the primary sanctity is coming from was a zachar, and now a secondary derivative is a male too, it itself could be brought as a karban oila. But now the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, Omiyama, and the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazer. Does Rebbe Lazer really say that the child of the oila is yikrev oila huatzmai, that it itself is sacrificed as a karban oila? But verminu. Seems to be contradicted from a Mishnah later on the Chafim Abbas. The Mishnah says, Tmuras Ashim, the exchange of the karban Ashim, or the Vlad Tmura, or the child of the Tmura, Vladon, its child, its child child, atzev kol oilam to all future generations. The Lach is, Yiru and Asham is seemingly the same thing, where Asham is also has to be a Zachar, like just in our case of an Oila. And we're saying that the Halach is whatever the child is going to be, Yiru Ashtavu. The Tanakhama says that it's going to graze until it develops a blemish, because that's Halach Moshe Mesinai, wherever by the Karmachatas it would be left to die, by an Asham it's left to graze, and the Tmur of a Chatas is left to die. So by the Asham it goes out to graze until it develops a blemish. V'imachar v'yiplu dam of l'nadaba. And then it's sold, and it's from its proceeds it's used to for those boxes that are used where they sacrifice from those monies when the mizbech is not being utilized for a carbon adava of the tzibur, that the public is bringing this carbon oil. That's the Tanakhama. Magir says, Rebbe Eliezer, he says that, no, actually, you're musu. Actually, it's left to die, because he holds, as the Gemara says in the beginning, Masech Tzvachim, kachatas ka'ashim, he equates ashim exactly like kachatas. So just like kachatas, it's mesim, they die, so too he holds by ashim, it's left to die. Now the third opinion, which is the one we're asking from, Rebbe Lazo, he says, Yavi bidmein oila, says that you bring from its proceeds an oila. And what he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama is that he holds these excess funds, they're not brought as a nidva of the tzibur, rather it's a nidva of the yachid. That individual himself, who it's from his primary carbon, he brings it as a carbon oila. But one thing we see, says the Gemara, is medamim in. What one thing is we see that, okay, it's monetary value that, yes, you use for a carbon oila. But who atzmoi, but the child of the tamur itself, loy, is not brought as a carbon oila itself. So obviously you see, like in this case of that Mishnah of Chofim Abeis, that since its mother itself is not fit to be brought as a carbon oila, because obviously if it's a mother, it's a female, and the female itself is not brought as a carbon oila, and even more, even had it been possible that its mother was a male, but the Halacha Moshe Mesina tells us that a tamur of an asham is left to grace. So that its parent is not fit to be brought as a carbon, so the child's also not going to be brought as a carbon. So that's the Gemara's question. So in the Halacha of Mishnah 2, when it's a child of an oila that's in the keva, so why does Rebbe Lazer say that, okay, fine, the mother's not fit because it's in the keva, but the child is fit because it's a zachar, it can be brought, but why is it any different than his Halacha over there in that Mishnah where he says if the parent's not fit, the child's not going to be fit? So Rebbe Chizki says, you're right. Rebbe Lazer le devrim de Rabbana kamlu. Rebbe Lazer was going only according, when he was saying his opinion, was going in the opinion of his disputants de Rabbana. And he was telling them as follows, Lididi, according to me, like we have in our Mishnah, severely I hold a fill of Vlad Namikarva Oila, that even the child would be able to be brought as a carbon oila, because it's a male and it can be brought as a carbon. Lididhu damitu, but according to you, that you say, Raya, or as other Gersois have it, Loy Karva, that's not sacrifice, but at least admit to me, but at least, okay, it's not going to be sacrifice, but at least admit to me that the Nedava will be from the individual. To which Va'amrile, they said to him, no, Mesaris Lenidvas Tibrasli, which that was the Pinatana Kama. They said, no, we don't agree that it's sacrifice, and moreover, we don't agree that it's a Nidvas Yachid. It's considered the Nedava of the Tibra that it goes to. But again, there's no rides, no contradiction of Belaza, because you're right, he himself would hold that it actually would be sacrifice. That's one interpretation. Rav Amei says, no, actually, Adkan Lekom Rebbe Lazar, who Atz Meker Vayla. Now, where do we find that Rebbe Lazar says that the child itself will be sacrificed a Karban Ayla, as he says in our Mishnah? That's El B'mafrish Nikeval Ayla. That's only where, as our Mishnah described him, when the primary Karban Ayla was designated as a female. Where there, at least, the Ikashem Ayla Al Imay, where there is a designation of Ayla on its mother. When someone separates an animal to be a Karban Ayla, the mother could have a designation of Ayla because it was sanctified to be an Ayla, and although it's a female, which cannot be sacrificed to Ayla, even so the designation and the title of Ayla takes effect on the mother. Why? Because we find that a female could be an Ayla in the case of Ayla Sa'if. And moreover, even when it's going to be sold, the mother, its proceeds are going to be used to purchase an Ayla. So it has a title of Ayla on the mother. However, as you get to of your testament Aleph, Aval Gabe, and the gear says, Vlad Tumuris Asham, but in the case of the Mishnah on the Chavim Beis, by the child of a Tumur ben Asham, Delek Hashem Oila Alimai, where the mother doesn't have, and when we say mother over here, also we mean to say the primary Hekdesh Rishon, which they're all getting their derivative from, which is an Asham it was separated for, and it was sacrificed as Asham, and there was no title at all of it as Oila, not for it or not for its monetary value. Oh, there even Maidir Belaza, there even Belaza is going to agree, as he's quoted, the Bedam of In, you're right, only its monetary value of this Zachar that's fit to be an Ayla, but it can't be because it's not a derivative of an Ayla in any sense or form of the manner, and therefore it's only monetary value that's going to be used, but Huat's Malekar, but it itself is not going to be sacrificed, even according to Belaza. Now Rashi brings down a version of Yerushalmi text, which is essentially the same as the concept of Argamar, which is this idea. Now again, even Rebbe Lazar would agree that in this case, Huatz Milaykar, because at least it has to have from some elemental concept, even when the mother cannot be brought as an Ayla. It's female, but it has some type of designation of Ayla. So then, Huatz Milaykar of the child. But there, where it doesn't have anything, then even Rebbe Lazar would agree that Huatz Milaykar, only Dhamma would be used for a Karman Ayla.